Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read verse number 2, and then we'll spend some time with verse number 3 because it is important. Verse number 2, and the earth was without form, and void means empty, didn't have anything in it. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Father, I pray that you'll help me this evening. Guide me, direct my thoughts, my words. We just pray that you'll have your will and way. We certainly love you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to have those people visiting with us tonight. We're thankful for our visitors, and we're thankful to see those that have visited us in the past and that are back this evening. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it very much. Verse number 3 is the verse that I want to focus on. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This is a very simple thought. Out of one verse, you get so many powerful truths. The first thing that I want us to look at this evening is I want us to see the power of God. The power of God. God is an omnipotent God, which means all powerful. And when God created all things, he said, let there be light. He created light. Now, some of you understand electricity. It's funny because if you go to our webpage, you can listen to the sermons. We're putting my dad's old sermons on there. And you can go to the archive, Bob Barker. You click on that. You'll hear some tapes. We've taped them, and we've taken the tapes, put them on a computer so you can listen to them. And I was just listening to one yesterday, and he was talking about the omnipotence of God. And I want you to know that God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. I'm glad that I serve a God this evening that is omnipotent. God stepped out and said, let there be light. Now, an electrician may understand light and understand how the electric works, but they don't comprehend how to make light. I can take a lamp and plug it into a wall and turn a switch on and a bulb will pop on and we'll have light. But I didn't create light. I just turned it on. And an electrician can make electric and so that you can go into your house and flip a switch and have light, but they don't even know how to create light. And here we have the God of the universe who created all things step out and saw it was dark and said, let there be light. And there was light. I want us to see the omnipotence of God, God's power, how powerful God is. This reminds me of this. When you and I have problems, we can always remember, no matter how significant the problem seems, we can always rely upon the fact that we know the God who created the light. Nobody can create light. They can duplicate it, but nobody can create it except for God. What kind of problems are you going through? I promise the problems that you're going through are not bigger than creating light or creating the universe or creating the world. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. I want you to know, friend, you and I, we have problems, but we serve an all-powerful God. Now, if you're here today, and you don't know this all-powerful God, if you will submit, and you will realize that you're a sinner, and submit to Him, and confess your sins, and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and repent of your sins, He will save you from your sins. He will save you from your sins. Now, be careful, because some people are like, yeah, I would like to ask Christ to come into my heart. And I do want you to know that asking Christ to come into your heart is not a magic words. If I say this structured sentence in a row, then I will be saved. You know, there is this thing called repentance, and repentance does need to take place. If I'm an axe murderer, and I say, I don't want to be an axe murderer, or I don't want to give up being an axe murderer, but I want to be saved. Am I really sorry for my sins? I may have a hard time giving that up, which I'm not an axe murderer, by the way, in case you were wondering. I was just using something way out there that hopefully none of you have had a problem with. Now I'm not saying that you won't have a problem giving. I think when an alcoholic gets saved, they want to be willing to give up their alcohol. It may be hard for them to do, but they want to. They're sorry for being an alcoholic. They're sorry that they're sinning against God. They want God's forgiveness, and they're asking God to come into their heart. That doesn't mean that they won't ever have a problem, or won't slip, or won't go back. You understand what I'm saying? But to go with the flippant attitude, yeah, I'm just going to ask Jesus to come into my heart and do whatever I want, that's not repentance, and that's not sorry, and that's not confession. So please understand that. I do believe that salvation is easy. I don't believe in hardism. I do believe in easyism, if that's a word. I do believe that salvation is simple. He puts it on the bottom shelf for everyone to get. So if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can be saved today if you realize that you're a sinner and you're sorry for being a sinner. Ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior, and He will save you from your sins. I see God saying, let there be light. I see the omnipotence of God. I see the power of God. Number two, I want you to know that I see the presence of God. In the New Testament, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. And in me is no darkness. Friend, I want you to know that Jesus is the light of the world. And when He says, let there be light. And then in the New Testament, He says, I am the light. He wants you and I to know that He's always with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His presence is everywhere. When you turn the night light out, the moon, you can go outside and see the stars, or you can see the moon. It's very, very seldom where you can't see anything at night. But there's a time or two where it's so dark that it's just dark out. But when you're laying in your bed, children, and you get a little scared of whatever creature that might haunt your brain, and you see that little night light, I want you to remember that God's there, because God is light. And where there's light, you can understand that there's God. Remember when Jesus died on the cross for our sins? He was on the cross. He cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God the Father had to turn His back on Jesus Christ while Jesus was on the cross dying for our sins, because He is the Son of God and He is God in the flesh. And the Father, the first person of the Trinity, turned His back on the Lord Jesus Christ because God the Father is too holy to look upon sin. And Jesus took upon Him the sins of the world. And the Bible says it became dark for about 3 hours. Pitch black. There was no light. The sun refused to shine. Oh, the sun was still there. The sun didn't go anywhere. I personally believe that if you were sitting around this little fire and you were warming yourself by this fire, and then it went dark, I don't think that they saw the illumination of the fire. I think all light ceased for 3 hours. Now, that's my interpretation, that's my belief. But the Bible says it went dark for 3 hours, because when God turns His back, it's dark. That's why, when someone is cast into the lake of fire, we say utter darkness. And a person that doesn't understand the Bible, or is not saved, or maybe even a saved person that hasn't been learned in the Scriptures as long as some others, they'll sit there and think, How can it be a lake of fire? Because fire gives light. And yet it be total darkness. The answer is simple. Some people would say, well, it's so hot that it's transparent. No, it's probably hotter than that. But because there's no presence of God. And He is light. The Father will have to turn His back on all those in the lake of fire for not a space of 3 hours, but for all eternity. Utter darkness forever. And if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be cast into utter darkness. The Bible says, where their worm dieth not. Everybody here has a problem. We all have different individual problems. The struggles that I have are not the struggles that you have. The sicknesses that I have are not necessarily the sickness that you have. But the Bible says when a person dies and goes to hell, the Bible says their worm dieth not. They're not going to get a new body. That person that's dying of cancer tonight and doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior and they're experiencing all the pain and the only thing that they have is morphine to numb the pain that they are going through, they will have no morphine in hell, but yet they'll still have that body. They don't get a new body. They don't get a new regenerated body like you and I will get one day when we go to heaven and Christ raptures the church. No, when their body, because their souls will go to hell, but when their body, when they're cast into the lake of fire, there's no new body. There's no healing of their sickness or pain. But hell is not hell necessarily because of the fire. Although there is literal fire in hell. There was a famous evangelist that said, I don't believe hell is a literal place of fire. I believe hell is whatever hell will be to you. Well, that's hogwash and applesauce. That's not true. The Bible tells us exactly that, not exactly, but gives us a description of what hell is, and I'm sure there's a lot more description that He didn't reveal to us, but it's a very, 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 very awful place that you and I don't want to go to. As a matter of fact, if, you know, when I go to a funeral and I'm standing there in front of someone and I believe that their loved one died and went to a place called hell, which is a very hard thing to do when you have to preach a funeral for an unsaved person. And I'm standing there preaching a funeral for a person that I do not believe that knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, and yet I'm talking to their spouse. You know what I'll tell them? The only chance, and you have to understand what I'm saying here, the only chance that they'll ever get to see that loved one again is if they get saved. You say, but I thought you said they went to hell. Well, number one, that's a probability, but I don't know for 100% sure. You never know what someone does on their deathbed. So I don't know. But even if they go to hell, and that person goes to hell too, they'll never see each other. There's no big party in hell. You're not going to go to hell and spend time with your friends. Well, my friends are down there. I'm going to go to hell and spend some time with them. No, you're not. It's a place of utter darkness because God the Father has turned His back. And what makes hell, hell? There is fire. There is pain. There is a lot of bad stuff. But what makes hell, hell is the lack of presence of God. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, He says, let there be light. So every time you turn on a light switch, here's what I want us to get in our brains. Every time I turn on a light switch, every time you turn on a light switch, I want you to think, the presence of God. You look outside and you see the stars, the presence of God. You see the moon reflecting the sun, the presence of God. You go outside and you see the sunlight, the presence of God. You're scared at night and you're wondering what's going to happen and you look down the hallway and someone left the bathroom light on, the presence of God. It can calm your fears because the presence of God is with you. He said, let there be light, and there was light. I think of the power of God. I think of the presence of God. And finally, I think of the promises of God. The promises of God. He said, let there be light. What's the next phrase? What's the next phrase? He said, let there be light. What's the next phrase? And there was light. If God says it, it always happens. When God said, let there be light, there was light. If God said, let there be darkness, there would have been darkness. If God said, let there be frogs, there would have been frogs. If God says, let there be a heaven and an earth, there will be a heaven and an earth. And if God said, let me make man out of the dust of the ground and form him in my image, that's exactly what will happen. I'm going to put man to sleep and take a rib out of him. You know what? Some people don't believe the Bible. I had a man just the other day argue with me. I said, sir, do you believe the Bible? He said, I read it. We're talking about a person that helps run the city of Fairmont. He says, I read it. I said, sir, I didn't ask you if you read it. I asked you if you believed it. And then he started to laugh. You're telling me that Adam and Eve had two boys. Where did the rest of us come from? Well, he failed to read Genesis chapter 5 where it says Adam had many sons and many daughters. He was trying to say, you're a fool, Nathan, for believing that God created Adam and Eve and then had children. And if he just had two boys, he couldn't have had children born out of just two boys. He was trying to prove the Bible wrong. He read the Bible, but he doesn't believe the Bible. Friend, I want you to know right now, I believe the Bible. Every word. And if God said, let there be light, that's how we got light. Now, we've argued this case about evolution and from behind this pulpit before about how wrong the theory of evolution is. Mine is a reasonable faith. Those that believe in the theory of evolution is an unreasonable faith. It's still faith. And again, I keep going back to the observational science because science has to be observed in order for it to be science. Any science teachers in here? That's what they'd tell you. Now, there's historical science, but that's just hogwash. You know what historical science. That's just something they made up so that you can't prove anything with historical science. But observational science is the science that we're going after. That's why you'll hear these radio ads. If you're from the age of 20 to 40 and you don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, and don't run with those who do, the University of West Virginia would like to get you in an experiment. We'll pay you such and such money, anywhere from $250 to $8,000. And I said, well, maybe I could do it. I'm 42, so I don't qualify. But that sounded like a pretty good idea, $8,000. But I don't know what they're going to be shooting me up with, so I decided not to do it. But they're doing it. You know why? Observational science. They want to see if this medicine is going to do what they think it will do. They have to observe it. Well, the evolutionists have nobody to observe their theory because no one was there. Big Bang. Nothing hit nothing and created all this wonderful complex society or universe that we have. Crazy Looney Tune. That's not reasonable. But see, mine is reasonable. Because over and over and over and over again in Genesis, God says, and he saw that it was good. 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 And he saw that it was very good. Over and over again, God keeps saying, I saw it. I saw it. You observational scientists out there, I saw it. I saw it. I saw it. We have one that observed this. So mine's a reasonable faith. Yours is an unreasonable faith, evolution theory of evolution believers. Mine's a reasonable faith. And so when someone says, oh, God didn't do this, friend, I want you to know God did this. If God did not create the heavens and the earth, if God did not say, let there be light and there is light, then there's no way for you to prove to me that God loves you. Because the same theory that God loves you comes from the same book. And if you can't believe chapter 1, how in the world are you going to believe John 3:16? I see the promises of God. When, hey friend, this is, if you're a believer, this is, if you're a non-believer, this is irritating to you. If you're a believer, this is encouraging to you. Because you have to realize that everything God promised you will come true. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, all things work together for good to them that love God. You know what will happen? Everything will work together for good if you love God. Now, how do you love God? How do you know? How do you prove you love God? You keep His commandments. See, now, love is just not a word. Love is an action. It's a choice. And God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus just didn't say, I love the world, and then ascended back to heaven. No, He said, I love the world, and proved it by His action and died on the cross for our sins. You can say to your wife you love them, husbands, and you can say to your husbands you love them, wives. But how many times have we flippantly said it? But there are times that we prove it by doing this or that for them. Our actions show love. And friend, I want you to know that Jesus said, or God said, let there be light. And I believe it was Jesus, because John chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him. So who's the Creator? Jesus Christ. The Trinity is in the first three verses of chapter 1 of Genesis. You have God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth, and then you have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And God said, let there be light. And that's Jesus Christ, because the Bible says in John 1:1 and 1:3 that He's the one that created all things. And so we have the Trinity right in the first three verses of the book of Genesis. And friend, I want you to know that He promises and He always keeps His promise. Let there be light, and there was light. I'll never leave you, and He never will. I love you, and He does. If you call on me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, and He will. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you will, if you call. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Friend, if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the first thing that I want you to know, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned. You have to realize that you're a sinner. If you don't realize that you're lost, you'll never want to be found. No one has ever found anything that wasn't lost. I didn't find this pen, it was sitting there. But if I throw this pen into the weeds, then I've lost it. You know, when I start a game of golf, I have found my golf ball. By the time the game of golf is over, I have lost my golf ball. My golf ball then needs to be found. At first, it doesn't. It's in my hand on a tee. After the first or second hit, usually, my golf ball is found lost. And I go looking for it. You don't look for something that's not lost. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to realize you need a Savior. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5, 8, but God commendeth His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, He knew that we were sinners. He knew that you needed a Savior, and He died for you. And if you realize that you're a sinner, and you realize that Jesus Christ, who is God, died on the cross for your sins and for mine, He will save you if you ask. What do you ask? Will you ask Him to forgive you of your sins? I ask Him to forgive me of my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and be my Savior. That's what I asked. He in no wise will cast out. You know how I know that? Because He said He wouldn't. And just as much as He said, let there be light, and there was light, He says, I will not cast out, and he will not cast out. I just want you to see the promises of God. So next time you turn on the lights, you come home and it's dark and you flip on the lights, you remember the presence, the power, and the promises of God. That's who the God, that's the God we serve. Hey, that's just out of one verse. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. This book is full of things like that. We just need to go gold digging sometime. Get in it. Search the Scripture. Find the truths. If you're here today and you don't know Christ your Savior, He loves you, He died for you, and He will save you from your sins. If you are saved, I want you to know no matter what you're going through, He is powerful enough to help you get through it. His presence will be with you through it, and His promises will hold true no matter how much you think that they won't. Because that's the kind of God we serve. And you can trust Him.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.